Would you stand with me, please? And I'd like you to turn to Micah, the sixth chapter. And Brother Poplawski, if you could leave the screen down, and I'd like to show scriptures tonight. Micah chapter 6. And the title on this chapter is Christ's Kingdom Foretold. And verse number 6 of that sixth chapter says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." What do you want, God? Is it a sacrifice of all that I have? And he's saying, no, here it is. Walk justly, in love, in mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word, that you touch it, make it alive. Not just an echo in this building, but something that lodges in our head and transcends to our heart and becomes a part of us. That it would accomplish exactly what you would have it accomplish tonight. We'll give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn to James, the fourth chapter. I want to establish some scriptures before we get into the message. James chapter 4, verse number 10. It says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." So the only way we can ever be lifted up by God, according to the scripture, is to be humbled. Glory to God. I see people leaving the sanctuary. I'm just getting started. I don't understand. Now, if you would go to Jeremiah, the 13th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse number 15. It says, "Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he cause darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive. Of all of it, it shall be wholly carried away captive." And then if you turn to Isaiah 57. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." For I'm not content forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. And then what Jesus says in Matthew 23 and verse number 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So there's a simple pattern here throughout the Bible. I have pastored now for within the next month or so for 26 years, and I've learned a lot about people, their attitudes, and their reactions, and sometimes you can't tell what kind of reaction you're going to get or what kind of attitude you're going to have. But during also this 26 years, I have also had four different dogs. Amos, he was a Springer Spaniel. Colton was a Bernese Swiss Mountain Dog, 140 pounds. And then there was Tiber. He was a Tibetan Terrier, and he died at an early age. And then now we have Chester. Actually, he was Smith. We had him and his brother, and they were always fighting. And so we had to make a choice. Are we going to keep Smith, or are we going to keep Wesson? So we kept Smith, but then just Smith isn't a good name for a dog, so we called him Winchester, and now he is Chester. All four completely different. Their attitudes, their demeanor, their disposition, completely different. Springer Spaniel, love 1 minute, next minute he bit me in the face. And he had what is called rage. He was inbred. And we kept him for a while, but he is now in purgatory. There was Colton, this 140-pound dog that was always leaning against me or leaning against my wife. He would lay, and he couldn't come into the living room when we're having a Bible study, but he would lay in the hallway, lay on his back, and he would begin to snore. And then I'd try to keep people looking at me instead of the dog. And then there was Tiber. He was that Tibetan Terrier and a wonderful dog, but he couldn't see very well, and he was afraid of everything, and so he would bark. And he would bark at any little noise. And I got the interpretation of his bark. It's my yard, my yard, my yard, you know. And finally, there's Chester, Winchester. He cannot be without my wife. He's one of those clingy dogs. The 3 days that she was at ladies' retreat, he stood at the back door looking, waiting. If I'd come in, he'd look at me. Well, that's fine, but is she coming? So I guess I was thinking today, which was my favorite dog? And I guess I'd have to say that it was Colton, this huge. I had to get a special collar for him because his neck was this big around. There was a night where I let him out. It was in the summertime, and he was coming back in. There was a light on the patio, and a toad had crawled up on the patio. Well, he could not come in because he was afraid of that toad. I had to go out and get the dog in order to bring him in. And then there was a time where the neighbor had a lab, nice dog, but we had gotten a special treat for Colton, this 140-pound dog, and he laid in the backyard with this great big smoked bone, and the neighbor dog came over, laid down next to him, grabbed the bone, and just walked away. And his attitude was, really? I'll tell you, sometimes you're surprised by the attitude of certain people and how they respond. We're all different, folks. But if you want to be elevated in the presence of God, there was an attribute about the humility of this dog who could have probably ripped the head off of this lab, but he didn't. And then you get these little ankle biters, you know, who you could just step on, but they don't know that. Would you turn to Psalms 34? Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 18. It says, the Lord is high nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He's got all kinds of people that have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. But there are some favorites, folks. He's nigh unto them. He's close unto them. He's leaning up against them. That's what it says. That are of a broken heart, and saveth such to be of a contrite spirit. Save them from dilemmas. Save them from problems. Over the years, I've been able to be acquainted with some very influential people, important for various reasons, money, position, title, and this world has a tendency to give them more attention than other people. Perhaps attracted to what they have or who they are, and they want to be associated with them. But did you know that we are on a first name basis with the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity? We are. And the reason God gives for our access to this Holy One in a high and holy place is because we have a contrite and a humble spirit. Oh, we may have attained something, but I'll tell you what, if because of the position or because of what we have, it can actually cause us to be separated from that high and lofty one. I did a search of the scriptures to find out what elevates us in God's sight, what causes God to promote us and bring us closest to him. And while worship and prayer and scriptural knowledge and even fasting are essential to have a close relationship with God, yet without a broken humility, we will always be an arm's length away from God. Oh, I have knowledge. Oh, I do pray. Oh, I do worship. But if we get to the place where we really think we are somebody, God's saying, you know, I think I'll choose the 140-pound Swiss mountain. Where is that high and holy place in which the master of the universe chooses to dwell? It is with those who have chosen to put on the mantle of humility. Nothing is more attractive to God than a humble spirit of somebody who will always take the lower road, who will always take a meek and quiet response. And we're challenged over and over again. We're challenged when people come at us and we have a right. 1 Peter 3 and 4 says, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. When a stream flows down a mountain, it always seeks the lowest point through which to flow. It's just the way it is. It'll always be that way. The power and the blessings that come from above always seek to flow through the humble spirit of people. Always. It's never going to go uphill. It's always going to go downhill. Not the most talented, not the hardest working, not the most intellect, but those who have a humble spirit before God and also before man. Oh, I'm humble before God, but let me tell you, you see, it won't work. It has to be both. The dilemma God has to deal with in our lives is this, is God wants to bless people with prosperity, both in the natural and in the spirit. He really wants to give us stuff, and most of us have experienced that, where we get the check in the mail, or God gives us a new car, or a promotion, or whatever, because he loves us and he wants to give good gifts unto his children. But the dilemma is, when God does that, we are subject to changing mantles. We can suddenly turn in our humble suit for a suit of pride and self-will and superiority and think that we really have earned it or become that. And so God sometimes has to keep people in a position where they can't even take credit for anything because they'll change their attitude. God's blessing will not run uphill. God seeks those in a low position, even though they have a high title. An evangelist can be blessed because of his humility and then lose his anointing because, well, he's now known for what God has done and not what he has done. The same is true for a pastor. When a small church becomes a large church, or the humble saint that now has a position of leadership, that which puts them in a position of humility, and it is only humility that will allow the blessings of God to flow and keep them in a position. Unfortunately, there are too many people who really do feel that they've earned some position from God, and at the end of all of this, we're all going to be asking God for mercy. God illustrates all of this through a letter that Peter has. Would you turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter? First Peter 5 and verse number 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Do you realize that you're subject to the person who is sitting next to you? That's what this scripture said. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. So, we're clothed with humility. That word clothed here in the Greek means an apron, being a badge of servitude, is what he is saying. We all become servants to each other. It is said that the servant fastens a white towel to their belt to distinguish them from all of the other people and the needs that other people have. It's like John the 13th chapter when Jesus took a towel and washed the feet of his disciples. God looks for a badge of humility that we may serve others at his request, always looking, what can I do for somebody else? And that's what happens when we have a missionary, such as we did Sunday, where we have an opportunity to serve them, and we step up and said, let me give or let me do, and God's saying, wow, that's the person I want to elevate, you see? When we sit back and say, let somebody else do it, you know, I've been here for 40 years. Well, and God's saying, let me exalt somebody else. Let me promote somebody else. Hallelujah. And he wants to do that. It's the only way God's promotion can come. If you'll turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter, it gives the attention on prayer. It gives attention on fasting and putting God first. But in verse number 5, he addresses prayer, and he says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So we have to be so careful that we do not stand out from the rest of the people. That we get attention rather than God gets the attention. Because if that's the case, then we have our reward. Now, the church, and even when we're worshiping, we should be like an orchestra that not one instrument stands out. But we all blend together, and nobody gets the glory except him. Hallelujah. Even on this platform, we all blend together, and nobody gets any kind of singleness or glory And that's the way God's planned it. Otherwise, what happens is we take the glory of God away, and then it's put on theirs. He's saying, and when thou prayest, or really worship, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And you know what? The person in the back pew in the corner can get as much of God and as the person who's standing right up in front. You know? Glory to God. It's about humility. It's about not standing out. It's not giving attention to one another. When you're in the armed forces, everybody wears the same uniform, and the only way you can distinguish one leader from the other is because of a little patch on their arm or their hat. And I remember when I was in the Army, I was in there for 6 years, and I earned corporal stripes, and I thought, boy, I was something. And then I got 3 stripes, which is a sergeant, and then 4 stripes as a staff sergeant. And I recognize the more authority you have, the more work you have, and the more you are a servant to everybody else. And that's what this book portrays. The more authority you have, the more you are the servant of those that you lead. Glory to God. Just a piece of cloth on a sleeve. All of us wear the same uniform in the eyes of God, washed in the blood and sanctified by his Spirit. But God is looking for the emblem. The emblem. The towel. The position of being a servant that gives us the greatest authority from above. It's the emblem of humility, preferring others before ourselves. Hebrews 12 and 28 says, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. The word reverence here in the Greek means with cast down eyes or bashfulness. It's showing respect, love, and humility to God, and let brotherly love continue. So there has to be leadership, but there doesn't have to be dominance, you see, because we're all submitting to one another. If you'll turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter, Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 11. I've read this so many times, and it's such an outstanding scripture. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In other words, he's saying those who are the least within the congregation have a greater position than those who somehow stand out, you know, and perhaps think that they're somebody. It's such a catch-22, because when God promotes and when God blesses, somehow we have this idea that maybe we are a step above somebody else. And that's just opposite of what God is saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The problem we have with our nature is always a struggle between humility and authority, choosing to seek meekness rather than power. But if we choose a broken and contrite spirit, God is obligated to exalt us and bless us. And like I said earlier, it's not about knowledge, it's not about worship, it's not about prayer, but it's about attitude And he's got to have his favorites within a congregation because of attitude rather than abilities or position. You know? It's the Pharisee who says, God, I'm so grateful I'm not like that guy over there. You know, and the publican says, oh, God, I'm not worthy to stand before you. And God says, if you're going to come to me, humble yourself like a little child rather than a sophisticated adult. Glory to God. God chose Israel's first king, Saul. In 1 Samuel 10, God chose Saul through a process of humility. The first king was chosen by a process of humility. God chose the smallest of the tribes of Israel, the least of the families of that tribe, and then the humblest of that family to be king. He was the one who God chose. It was systematic and it was by course. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. First Samuel 10 and verse number 20 says, and when Samuel had caused all of the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Amarti was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Talk about somebody who's humble. He's saying, hey, I know I was chosen, but you know, I'm not the one who should be here and hiding among the baggage. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upwards. In other words, you know what? He was good looking, he was taller, he had the credentials, but you know what? Really, God? Me? And then if you'll turn to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, just four chapters later, verse number 17, Saul's asked to do something, and he doesn't. And then Samuel, the prophet, comes to him with the word of the Lord in verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And if you drop down, you'll find that his kingdom was taken away from him. Why? Because he was no longer little in his own sight. He really felt that he could countermand. Well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but really, I've been in the church all this time, and now I really don't feel it's important. Well, you can feel all you want, but when you get to the place where you don't think you have to obey the word of God, I'll tell you what, you're wondering where the anointing is, you wonder where the protection is, you wonder where. When you're little in your own sight, God, that you'd allow me to be in your presence. Glory to God. And you know what? We need to maintain that. I don't care how long we're in the church. I don't care how many sermons we heard or how many positions we've had. And of course, Jesus is our ultimate example of humility. He chose to step down from his celestial throne of glory and robe himself with the mantle of humility or humanity. 1 John 2 and 6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In other words, we need to humble ourselves and be obedient like Jesus was to his own word. Let's take a look at Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2 and verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God, here it is, hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Well, it didn't come. The exalting and lifting up did not come until there was a humbling. Many times when God promotes us to adorn ourselves with a broken and contrite spirit is when we need it the most but desire it the least. And what happens is God's checking our attitude and checking our attitude and checking our attitude. He's getting a little bit too big for his britches. So maybe we need to put him in a situation where we have to humble him. Or maybe she has gotten to the place where, you know, I'm not subject to those same things that I was 20 years ago. And God's saying, well, you know what? I tell you what. We're going to set a program before you. Someone has wronged me or taken advantage of me, and God's going to see. Will you be another Colton? Say, are you kidding? You took my bone? That's not fair. Never saw that dog growl once. Never. I remember Charter when he was maybe 2 years old. The dog was laying in our foyer and sleeping. And he grabbed him by the whiskers and lifted up his lip. I've got a picture of this to remind me. And there his teeth are sticking out, and he's looking at the kid and saying, what are you doing? You know, 140 pounds, he could have swallowed his arm. Anybody ever do that to you? And how'd you respond? I'll tell you, God blesses us and blesses us and blesses us, and all of a sudden he sees the wrong attitude, and he's saying, time out. We're going to change some things right now. Because I'd rather have you poor, I'd rather have you lowly than high and lifted up and think that you're somebody. And Brother East talked to me today, and he said, you know, there was a time where I preached in a church for a young man, and he said to me, I don't know where you got your schooling, I don't know where you got your credentials, but let me tell you what you really need to do. Lord, 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 Lord. Amen. Just signed up for school, and he didn't even know it. I don't want to change my coat. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't trade humility for the power to call 10,000 angels? A five-star general is the highest rank in the military. It represents the most authority and power besides the President of the United States. But in the kingdom of God, there is an emblem that is greater than a five-star general. It's demonstrating humility. It is the emblem. It's like you have a rank on your shoulder. And if you could see in the spirit tonight, you would see angels stepping aside to bow in humble recognition of those who wear the garment of humility. If you want God to exalt you, well, first of all, you have to put on the garment of humility and sometimes brokenness and holding back what your flesh wants to do, because God will not put up with that. And I'll tell you, I've been in that school over and over again, and nobody in this place is ever exempt from it. Nobody. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care how much intelligence you have. I don't care what positions you've ever held. The first thing is, are you humble enough? Because God has to test people to see whether or not they're humble before they can handle the authority that God wants to put in their place. Glory to God. That's why sometimes young men can't handle that. They have to go around the block a few times. I've got nothing against youth. I was there a long, long time ago. But you know what? When you understand that it doesn't always come within a short period of time, but God tests and tests and tests. 120 years old and Abraham still being tested before he can be the father of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Amen. And I don't want to go through any more of those folks. I just want to grab a towel. How many of you want me to help you? I'm willing to do it because I know that's the job God's called me to do. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? There's scripture in Psalms that talks about how the servant is always looking at the eyes of the master, never where he's going, but he's always looking at the eyes of the master and the hand of the master to see what he would have him to do. And really, in every church service, we should be looking more to, God, what would you have me to do? Is there someone I can minister to? And those are the happiest people in the church. Now I'll guarantee you that those people who have given to Brother Wakefield this week, there's a joy in their heart because they fulfilled that position that God wants them to attain. And then God blesses and blesses and blesses. Hallelujah. This is the greatest church that I've ever been in. And I believe it's because of that humility and attitude. God, don't look at me. Let's just look at this whole congregation. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?